Yesterday, Russia's Vladimir Putin went to great effort to once again deny that he has any aggressive designs on manipulating U.S. elections or fomenting tensions with the U.S. and disrupting NATO countries in Europe and beyond. But the circus of revelations continued on Capitol Hill in Washington yesterday as former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn signaled he would tell all in exchange for congressional immunity, while Republican Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee Devin Nunes disclosed that two senior officials at the National Security Council and White House Counsel's Office on National Security Issues both provided Nunes with reports that showed evidence the Trump team was swept up in some alleged Russian surveillance. The Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr says he believes Russian meddling round two is about to begin.
We're on the brink of potentially having two European countries where Russia is the disruptor of their leadership. And what we might assess as a very covert effort in 2016 in the United States is a very overt effort as well as covert in Germany and France.
Senator Burr believes that as Britain invoked Article 50 this month, beginning its departure from the European Union, it has thrown the elections in Germany and France and elsewhere wide open. Suddenly, Russia's Putin, who was facing a united U.S.-European front against its aggression in Crimea and Ukraine less than 2 years ago, is now looking at opportunities to exploit new cracks in the European alliance. James Nixey is head of the Russia and Eurasia program at London's famous Chatham House think tank. James, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Is that how you see it? Russia's now out of the woods and publicly ready to manipulate elections in Germany and France?
It's a complex picture. I mean, you're absolutely right. Russia has achieved significant mini victories or substantial victories in the USA with Brexit in the past 12 months or so. And it clearly, if you're a gambler, like Vladimir Putin clearly is, then you throw the dice again, don't you? So elections are always a time of uncertainty, no matter whether you're a democracy or an autocracy. And so if you have a clearly pro-Russian candidate in the form of Marine Le Pen in France, then the Russians are going to go all out as much as is possible without being too overt about it, although a press conference between Le Pen and Putin was pretty overt just last week. And similarly in Germany, whereby Germany is under pressure by Donald Trump to spend 2% of their GDP on defense. They're not going to make it. That is going to put Merkel under pressure. It doesn't mean her victory is assured, which does leave the door open for a more pro-Russian candidate. So there is at the very least all to play for still.
Is it your assessment that Putin cares one way or another whether Britain stays in the EU or not, or does Putin just love instability, whatever complexion it happens to be?
You're quite right. I mean, I think clearly instability is what Russia thrives on. It likes the rotting flesh, if you like. It feasts on it. So there's a certain element there of Schadenfreude, if you like. And so as far as Brexit is concerned and Article 50, then that diminishes the European Union power. And that therefore means in Russia's zero-sum terms, because Russia believes it is a zero-sum game, if we're weaker, they are stronger. We may not believe that, but if they think you're in a zero-sum game, you're in a zero-sum game, by the way. So the point is, it makes Russia's voice louder in Europe. It just eases what they have to do. In terms of getting their goals and ambitions and message across, then there's one less obstacle in the way now.
Is Marine Le Pen's message to the French people something that can be amplified by Vladimir Putin, who can remind Europeans that, he has this energy switch that he can turn on and off in the form of gas and oil to, fuel the European economy?
Well, yes, very much so. And you see, unlike in the USA, where I feel there is no really substantial pro-Russian constituency, that's not true for France. France has always been the odd one out in the European Union. You know, the Gaullist nature has carried on, if you like. They didn't want the UK in the Union. They don't really regard the post-Soviet states as fully independent. So there's a general sort of inclination in France not to understand the Russian line more than there is in, say, the UK, Germany, and the US. So I think that obviously Marine Le Pen has to be careful she doesn't go too far, although some would consider she's gone very far already. She's taken Russian money. She's appeared in a press conference with Vladimir Putin. She spent an hour and a half with them. She backs President Putin even more overtly than Donald Trump did in his election campaign. And as you say, at the same time, they're also more vulnerable, not so much in the energy terms, because of France's reliance on nuclear power means it's more energy independent than many other countries. But there is nonetheless exists a substantial anti-American, far right, far left, because it's the same thing, pro-Russian constituency in France. So she is certainly appealing to a significant, well, we don't know if it's a minority or a majority yet, but she's certainly going all out for a win on that basis.
Isn't it different in Germany that the nationalist voices like Frauke Petri are also anti-Russian traditionally in Germany?
Yes, Germany isn't as susceptible as France in some ways to the pro-Russian line. Although, having said that, Germany's attitude towards Russia has traditionally always been very business-driven. For example, there are about 800 German businesses in Russia with investments in Russia. There's only about 200 UK businesses, by contrast. So nonetheless, Angela Merkel has dragged them kicking and screaming along that you need to take a more principled approach if you want Russian money in the longer term. And so that is an important part. But you're right. The former foreign minister, now president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, Ingmar Gabriel, have all expressed surprisingly, shockingly at times, pro-Russian views. Clearly, Germany wishes Nord Stream 2 to continue, which is a pro-Russian, anti-Ukrainian, because it bypasses Ukraine, energy project. So Germany is quite torn, as, to be honest, as so many countries are. It's torn between the those who argue for a principled and morals-based foreign policy and those who say we've got to be real, we've got to get practical, we've got to understand Russia. These are still opposing forces, still battling it out there.
James Nixey is head of the Russia and Eurasia program at the Chatham House think tank in London. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.